bow your heads and join me in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We are so thankful for who you are to us. You love us so much. We are so thankful that we have a rock and a sure foundation in you, unmatched. And we just want to say that we love you this morning. And just in Jesus' name, amen.
Right here. Yeah. So we have, why not? We have a very special guest in terms of a member of our church family who was a pastor. Pastor Dave McVickers was a pastor for over 30 years before he retired. He's been married to his wife, Nancy. Where's Nancy? Is she in the back? She's been married to Nancy for over 50 years, and they have five wonderful children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. So we love having one of our own come and give us the message today. So without further ado, if you guys would please give Pastor Dave McVicker a very warm welcome.
Thank you. It just takes me longer to get there now. But once I'm here, I like to stay. Pastor gave me a time limit. I forgot what it was. My many, many thanks to all of you for being here today. I have said every time I pastor or stood to preach, you're not here by accident. You are here by the divine hand of God. God has something for you today. That was definitely not it. You know, we look around and we see a service happening and we think everything is just kind of comes together. It doesn't. People work extremely hard behind the scenes of things that you are not aware of. The worship team, with the hours that they put into practice, with Candy, the way that she worked with me for the song, it was my selection. I said, could you please? And she helped so much. Nancy Medved, she called and wanted to make sure everything was right. And Ryan Eisenmuth, Eisenhuth. What is it, Muth or Huth? Huth. I'm sorry. But he called and talked about how that the displays or the graphics should be done, and he did a super job on them. He's the one that put that all together. It wasn't me. My title of the sermon today is, Does Jesus Really Care? Does he really, really care about you, about your problems, your difficulties, your place in life, your length of life, or your shortness of life? I read today from 1 Peter 5 and 7. I'm reading from the Living Bible. If you will humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, in his good time, he will lift you up. Let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion, looking for some victim to tear apart. Stand firm when he attacks. Trust the Lord and remember that other Christians all around the world are going through these sufferings too. Lord, we bow in prayer this morning, asking for your love to be given to each of us as we sit here this morning. Allow your love to go beyond just what we normally think of, and allow your love to pierce so deep in our hearts that we might never question again, does Jesus care? I pray, Lord, that your word would be glorified, that you would be glorified, that everyone here would be drawn closer to Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for all that you have been to us and all that you're going to be in your name. Amen. I don't know how many of you were here the last time that I was able to minister, but I began, how did I begin? Anybody remember? You what? I tore the whole Bible apart, threw them everywhere. I'm not going to do that today. But I would never have guessed. I figured just somebody came up here afterwards and cleaned everything up and threw it away. Well, they did clean it up, but they didn't throw it away. They took, you know, the Bible I tore up was this one right here. And someone took the time to take every page and glue it back together. That to me was absolutely amazing. How that someone could take, I mean, you saw all those pages everywhere. I thank John and Susan for doing that. It meant a lot to me, and I will always have this in my library and keep it and remember it. As a Christian, have you ever found yourself in the valley of despair? Wondering if God even cares about your problems or is concerned about you at all? There are days that we seem high on the mountain, and it's a glorious place to be. I took a trip one time. We were out to General Council for our church to Denver, and we went up to whatever that pass is up there above Denver. And as I looked around at all the beautiful views, the only thing at the top was rocks. Couldn't grow anything up there. The air was too thin. In fact, I had to stop on my way up because I wasn't adjusting well enough, and I was about ready to lose it. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. Great for perspective. But nothing grows up there. It's just to view what's ahead, what's behind, what's around. Fabulous views. But you can't live up there. The air's too thin. You got to come back down into the valleys. Believe me, if you feel that way this morning, you're not alone. Even a casual reading of God's Word, the Bible, reveals dozens of the greatest men and women in biblical history that have also shared, does Jesus care? Is God really alive? Is God with us on our journey? He's brought us out into the desert only to die because we have no food, nothing. The Israelites thought that, but yet God provided. In every situation in God's Word, whenever people turned their hearts towards God, He always met a need that was there out of nothing. They didn't have a snack pack in their bags with them as they left Egypt. I mean, they had nothing. And God made something appear from absolutely nothing and met their needs. Have you ever tried to get water out of a rock? They don't squeeze too well, do they? They're hard. But yet God told them, strike this rock and waters will flow. God fed them for 40 years in every situation. Our hearts and minds, as they are turned toward God, relieves the problems that we have in our life. Let me tell you probably the most important part of this today is let me suggest that so many times we are blaming the wrong person. We say, oh God, why are you doing this to me? You know, in the beginning, God created perfection. Absolute perfection. And Satan came in and stole that perfection. Took it away. Tempted Eve. She surrendered to that temptation. And it was because of that original sin. It allowed our bodies to begin to deteriorate. Because God said, if you eat of this, ye shall surely die. And Satan came along and tricked Eve and said, no, you're not going to die. You're just going to know what God knows. That was a lie too. Don't blame God for your circumstances, folks. I've seen too many people do that and fail miserably. Don't blame God. Blame the one who is the problem to all of it, and that is Satan. God didn't put us in this position. So many times it was Satan that did it, and sometimes we did it on our own will, walking out away from the protection of God. Our human tendency in times of troubles is to quit and run from God. We quit attending church. We quit tithing. We quit praying. We quit associating with those that really care about us. We hold little pity parties for ourselves, and we make up unfounded reasons why we quit on God. You can run from God, but you will never be able to run away from God. God is there with you on the mountaintops and in the deepest of valleys that you might walk through. In Psalms 139, chapter 139, you want to know where God will chase you to? I'm reading from the Living here. Not with those glasses, I'm not. Wait a minute, time switch glasses. I'm going to have to put, you know, I never had on my notes whenever I make them up, switch glasses here. I guess I need to start that. Psalms 139, the Living. And listen to this, it flows so wonderfully and should encourage each one of you that are here today feeling like God has let you down. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit or stand, when far away you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I am going to say before I even say it. You both proceed and follow me and place your hand of blessing on my head. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from my God. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the morning winds, to the furthest oceans. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. If I try to hide in the darkness, the night becomes light around me. For even darkness cannot hide from God. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking about me. Does that sound like someone that doesn't care about you? Does that sound like someone who's going to turn their back on you? There's no place you can go to from the highest mountain to the lowest valley. God is there to strengthen and to help and protect and guide and direct you in every inch of your life. Peter gave us a solution to doubting God and his writings, which was in our text this morning. I read just that small portion from 1 Peter 5:7. Let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. From the King James, that same verse, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You can put your name there. For he careth for each and every one of us. And I really like how the Amplified Bible handles this particular verse in 1 Peter 5:7. The Amplified says this way, casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all upon him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Yet the question still remains, does Jesus care? Does he really care? Probably the greatest woe that any of us face is the issue of death. Death to our spouse, death to our family members, death of our parents, and especially death of one of our children, and of course our own deaths. Some years ago, my mother died with a stroke during the middle of the night, and it hurt. It hurt so deep, I can't tell you how deep I went into the depths of despairs. And I blame myself a lot because of the fact that I had not gone to see her in a couple of weeks. And so I never had a chance to say goodbye when she passed. A good Christian woman, if it wasn't for her, continued ministry from Jesus Christ, none of us children would even be saved today. My dad was not that spiritual to begin his life. And I hurt so deep, I couldn't express my feelings. I just didn't want to see or talk to anybody. And I blamed myself for a number of years. And then it came time for my own father to pass. And I was concerned and dedicated to make sure that I was going to see him when he passed on to glory. And I stayed with him the last 2 years of his life, caring and helping. He died slowly of cancer. And it took so much of his life, a little bit at a time, a day at a time, a week at a time, a month at a time, a year at a time. And I saw the agony and the pain and the anguish. And then it hit me. God spared me from all of that with my mother. Even though I went through it with my father, and he would get up in the middle of the night and he would do all kinds of things. And mom had these big cast iron frying pans. Did you have any of those, or do you have any of them now? Try dropping one in the middle of the night and see how much of the house it wakes up. In fact, how much of the neighborhood it wakes up. And Dad would do that. He'd get up and try to fix himself something to eat. And my mother's death was but a quick death, and I felt guilty. But Dad, very slow and agonizing death. Let me tell you that you're in good company this morning when discouragement sets in. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth on his second letter to them. He said in 2 Corinthians 1 and 8, King James, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now here's Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. What is he saying here when he despaired of life? He said, "I want to die. I've given up. I want to die. Lord, you've forsaken me." You're in good company when you feel discouraged. And again, I ask, does Jesus really care? Over 100 years ago in 1901, Reverend Frank Grafe, he was known as the Sunshine Minister because everywhere he went, he was jolly and just felt so good, and it expanded out to the crowd wherever he was at. And then something overcame him. I've not been able to find out what his difficulties were, but they were deep and severe. And exhausted, tired, depressed, one night he found himself singing an old hymn. And that hymn, some of you know, some of you don't, is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And out of that experience, he found himself writing the hymn that the worship team shared today. That hymn that says, "Does Jesus Care?" Now here's a man in the depths of despair, wanting to die, even thinking of taking his own life. Have you been there? I have. When things hurt so much and people tore my heart out, I know where Reverend Frank was coming from. I didn't write a song, though, but he did. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? as the burden press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and so long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear, and the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, when for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him, does he see? And then the refrain, to each of those questions that he wrote about, the refrain says, oh yes, he cares. I know. He cares. His heart is touched with my grief, that which I'm bearing today. He cares. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. How do we cast our cares on the one that cares for us? To help you remember, and I hope you do remember, four letters, and that term of casting, especially in the King James, you and I think of casting as a fishing pole, throwing it out, bringing it back, throwing it out, bringing it back. But casting to the New Testament Christians meant something else. Have you ever lived around the fishing port where they go out and fish as a profession? Especially in those days, and today it's done with equipment, but they had to get these big, heavy nets, huge nets, and it would take men of tremendous strength to get those nets and roll them together and then toss them out and draw them back and get them together again and toss them out. It was not for the weakest. It was for the strongest to be able to do that. But using an acrostic of cast, number one, commit your burden to the Lord. Give it over to the one who cares even more than you do. And the difference is God has the power to change things. We don't. God has that power. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, time to change glasses here, just a minute. Bear with me. There. In Romans, now here's Paul writing again. He asked a question in verse 35, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, and Paul knew what tribulation was, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Lived under the rule of the government, and then in verse 37 he answers, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even when we are down and out, cast with all of your strength your cares upon the Lord. Then secondly, Ryan, you there? Where's the first one? Oh, okay. I didn't see it. I'm sorry. Number one was commit your burden to the Lord. Number two, ask for his help in prayer. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, the Living Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. And then thirdly, search the scriptures. God has a promise for every need in your life. Okay, Lord. Don't you got to love these iPads and iPods and phones and smartphones. I still got a dumb phone. And I'm going to keep that dumb phone because the smart ones are too much for me. Search the scriptures. God has a promise for every need in your life, no matter what it is. Find out what God's word says. Yeah, it takes some reading, and sometimes you read through a passage of scripture, what in the world does that mean? And you go on, and then later something comes up and you read something else and it points you right, oh, now I know. When you see the promises of God, don't forget they're for you. And then fourthly, trust him. Trusting God is probably the hardest thing that we have to do because it seems so simple and they're such simple words, but it's so difficult to do. Of trusting him, he does care for us. Just think about that 139th Psalm. When you get to feeling low, look at how much he cares for us. Even before we were born, he knew who we were. And he was there all the time. He's never left you. He's never forgotten you. And we worry about so much, and I've put on the bottom of your sermon notes today a definition of worry. And I copied this from the inside of my Bible. There are certain things at times I write down that just come out so strong to me. And I put this down, worry, the definition of it. Assuming responsibilities God never intended me to have. Taking on responsibilities and worrying about things that God says, I've got in my hands, don't worry about it. I'm taking care of this. I know that if you are living with someone who has contain or is right now going through that horrible, horrible cancer. I think of Greg and the ALS that he went through and the pain and suffering that his wife endured in those last days. Don't assume responsibilities that God never meant for you to have. Does Jesus care? Would you bow your heads with me? Tom, would you come? I appreciate Tom for volunteering to play this, and I've asked the ushers to leave the door shut. I've wanted all the preliminaries to be done before I started today, because I want to open these altars this morning. And you, if you found yourself blaming God, if you found yourself hurting so bad that you wonder, can you still go on? I'm here to tell you this morning that yes, you can. All you have to do is come and say, I surrender, Jesus. I surrender. And I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, not everybody, but those that want to come this morning and are dealing with what I've spoken about today, or God has touched your heart in some way, and you know I need to be at the altar. We're not here to embarrass you. We're here to help pray with you and believe God for an answer in your life. If you need spoken to from God this morning, would you stand and just come right down to the altar? Don't hold back. Come and let Him touch your life this morning, and just lay it all on the altar and let God take care of it. Don't be afraid. Just stand and come now. I'm not going to tarry long, but I do want the altars to be open for this today. Please come. Please. The Holy Spirit is urging you right now to stand up and come. Let God touch and minister and meet that need that you have this morning. Service today, you can feel free to just slip out. I'm asking that the doors remain closed after you leave. You can join us down for coffee at the Hebrews Cafe. But respect those who are praying here, and if you want to join them this morning, you come too and you pray. God love you and God bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come, we ask for you to touch and meet the needs of these that are asking. There needs to be a monumental breakthrough, and God, only you can do it. Only you can touch the heart of that one that needs Christ. Only you, Lord, can reach down with all of your power and glory and change the direction that lives are going. I pray that you would come and comfort our brother Jeff. Touch him, Lord. Lift him up to that heavenly mountain that he can see the result. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for Susan and Jim. God, that you would just minister to their needs. Help them, Lord, reach into their hearts, into the depth of their being. And God, minister and meet the need, the challenges that he faces. Reach, Lord, even go before him as you promised you would. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, our lives need touch by God this morning. We need to understand and hear your direct voice. God, it's what you say. Bring the comfort that's needed, as only you can do. In Jesus' name, Father, for those who are here that wanted to come, but just fought that feeling within their own lives. I pray, God, that you would go to their hearts today. We did not want to embarrass them, and Lord, you don't either. But Lord, you know who they are. And right where they sit at this moment, they're feeling your hand of warmth, and there's something coming across their bodies that they can sense that God has done what he has promised. Lord, I thank you for this day. For all that are here, we know that when we feel low, we can come unto you and you will lift us up. And we thank you, Lord, for those that have remained and just recognized God's presence and chose not to leave. I thank you, Lord. Be with each one this morning. Touch their lives, their hearts, their beings. In your holy, holy name. And everyone said, amen.